Hello, and welcome to the LCS Rundown, episode 225. My name is Blake. I'm back today. I'd like to start off this episode by apologizing for the potato quality, but get used to it, because today's episode's going to be a little bit different. You're probably expecting some finals discussion, but instead, I've got a copy of The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood, and I'm just going to read it.
you're not even gonna mention the fantastic price you got it for.
Well, no, Ian. Oh, hello, Ian. Thanks for joining us.
Hi.
Actually, what's gonna happen is I didn't buy The Handmaid's Tale for a fantastic price. I bought L. Ron Hubbard's Dianetics.
Oh, that's the Blake, one. Blake. I know.
Yes. Oh hey. How are you doing? Odin joined us as well. Is anyone else here? Is there anyone else?
I have no idea what's going on.
Jax is here too. Oh, my friends. Now that you all are here, I'd like to apologize to you for the potato quality as well. My recording equipment is 12,000 kilometers away from me right
Just
now.
Just apologize for the potato quality of this podcast.
Hey, well,
Blake, we're
You're right. Let's actually just talk about the finals, maybe.
Hey, that's a good idea.
Well,
let's do that.
Unless you guys want to listen to The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood, of course.
No. I think we're all right. We're all right there.
Okay.
Let's talk about the hypest semifinal and the reason why you showed up. I'm pretty sure. Cloud9.
It's one of the reasons.
Cloud9 versus TSM.
Yes.
Our big five-game series.
We just jumping right into it?
Why not? There was no news, man. We'll get to the news when we cover the other thing, because that's the only news.
Fair.
Yeah.
All right. The best thing about this is that I actually have a copy of Margaret Atwood's right there.
Of course you do. Well, why else would you have mentioned it?
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
It's a good book.
Also, for anyone that doesn't know who this is Blake.
Oh yeah.
For anyone for anyone that happens to like this is their first episode or something like that.
Wow. That would be Blake. Concerning.
He's on every
who hasn't been listening for more than like a year and a half.
He's on every now and then. He's awesome.
I used to be a legend.
You still are a legend.
Oh man.
I think technically I replaced Blake, so I am so sorry to everyone.
No.
Okay.
Be kind to yourself.
Well,
anyway, let's get right into the series.
Let's talk about the series.
I mean, I'm happy to talk about myself if you guys want. We can just do that for the whole episode.
So Bjergsen's a monster, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. Why is he allowed to just Dude, what the fuck? How is Bjergsen?
They gave him a lot in this series.
Bjergsen gets a lot all over in this series, and his Akali is disgusting. I am definitely glad they found a way to deal with it, I guess.
Eventually.
Yeah, so I really, basically, a lot of this series was Bjergsen. The first two games, he played Akali, and he did extremely well the first game, and he looked all right the second game, but C9 as a whole just played extremely well in the second game, so like the rest of his team really didn't do that well, and so he looked as good as he could for having a jungler and a top laner go combined 0-6 in 26 minutes. But yeah, it was Bjergsen played really well for the most part this series. I think it was just more of TSM as a whole not looking super cohesive at some points. There was a lot of miscommunication, it seemed like, especially towards the towards the early game, where they would have some people bot and try and make something happen. C9 would push top and take a tower. They might get a kill bot, but C9 would take the tower. It often happened the other way around, where TSM would try and gank Licorice or make something happen topside with Rift Herald, and C9 would just plant four people in the bot lane, take tower, take dragon, rotate to mid, pressure mid, do all sorts of stuff bot lane, all the while getting Zinn and Mithy behind, and TSM would have no answer to that. And that, I feel like that was the story of this series. Bjergsen played well, but I feel like the story was TSM getting out macroed this entire time, like extremely heavily.
Pretty much, even the games TSM won, they got out macroed and just won through superior micro.
Yeah, it was...
I'd say, yeah, I wasn't... Some of the pick ban for C9 is definitely weird. It works for them, minus the Quinn, that sneaky turn
twice.
I wanted to talk about the Quinn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I think the Quinn made sense in game one. And did not make sense when he picked it again in game three.
Well, that was because they put a lot of priority for some reason in game three on Leona, and they first picked it and then got really hard counterpicked by Swain and Irelia.
I just felt like, I don't know, Varus or like they banned the Ezreal. Ezreal would have been better in that situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, C9 picked Quinn twice, and both of those games were the games that they lost. In game one, the pick was okay. It made a fair amount of sense. Bjergsen just popped off super hard, and so it was really hard for the squishies of C9 to do anything. Game three, though, was a little bit different. There were not necessarily squishies.
What is it that you think their thought process behind the Quinn pick was? What do you think they were trying to do with it?
I think they were, especially in the second game, they picked Quinn Leona as well as Camille. And I mean, for that matter, Orin. I think they were definitely going for picks this game, but it was a really weird comp because they were playing a pick comp into a comp with a Gangplank and four tanky people. So yeah, it's like there's not really a good target to go on in terms of like trying to pick someone off, because you're either going to
choose in that. I guess exactly. The Swain.
Yeah. I mean, the Swain would be the ideal target if he didn't have 10 kills.
Yeah.
The Swain ended up getting.
He's still way too tanky for a champion like Quinn to burst through. She's a burst AD carry. She has shit for sustain.
Yeah. So this was a really bizarre draft from C9. I'm not entirely sure what their plan was going into this, playing against TSM's comp, but it didn't work out.
Leona is the weirdest part of this whole thing because she ends up in this last. This last game was hard to watch. I definitely thought C9 was going to lose this series at a couple points.
In game five?
Yeah.
C9 was ahead almost the entire time in game five.
Game five was C9 stomped game five.
I think you're thinking
I'm thinking game four then. No.
Game three was the one that C9 lost.
That was just game three. That was the bad Leona.
But yeah,
Leona
They picked Leona in game three, which was the Swain game where Zven got super fed.
Yeah, and then he tried the Swain again, and they first picked it after seeing Kai'Sa. I don't know, man. These drafts are just so weird, this series. And I'm happy to see the Swain being picked up. I'm happy to see a lot of different champion variation. I guess that helps when you bring in two different players after game three, which I guess is something we should also talk about. C9 definitely used their two extra subs, and game four brought in Sven Skarren and Golden Glue,
which I was super nervous about. Because it's Golden Glue.
Yeah.
I was super nervous because it's Sven Skarren.
I mean, that's
Golden Glue's actually been good for like Golden Glue's been good this split.
No
qualms with his
Golden Glue's actually been having a really good split. Probably the best split he's ever had. For everyone out there that doesn't know, Golden Glue has been in the LCS scene for a very long time. His results just haven't really ever been there. He's always been that guy that performs really well in scrims, but just can't transition it onto stage ever. There were many a time where he would get traded, get put on, not perform well, and then basically get relegated to the academy team. And this is the first split where he's come on and just looked incredibly solid. And so I feel like we're finally getting to see that scrim version of Golden Glue. And we also got to see the really good version of Svenskeren that we saw whenever he first came to NA and played for TSM and looked amazing. And so,
yeah, this looked like SK Svenskeren.
Yeah, this was really, really.
I had a quarter for every time I've heard people say that.
It's the only time he was good prior.
Yeah, but
do you think he says that to himself before he goes to bed? Like he just he's like, tomorrow I need to be SK Svenskeren. Come on, bud.
He wakes up a new man. But yeah, basically,
an old man. He wakes up an older man.
See, yeah, but C9. They really demonstrated the
champion
the power.
Picks that they focused. Yeah, the champion picks they focused for Golden Glue and Svenskeren were surprising as well. I did not I guess Graves isn't super weird, but seeing Golden Glue on Malzahar, who has not played,
and not just Malzahar, but George P. Burdell's patented Predator Malzahar.
Yeah, it was very obvious what C9 was going for in their comps once they put Golden Glue and Svenskeren in. They were going for a pick someone off and blow them up as fast as possible comp.
Well, and not just pick someone off, but like be able to win the subsequent fight afterwards.
Yeah, and so especially apparent in game 5 where they picked the Malzahar, Leona, Poppy, and then they have the Kai'Sa and Graves. So you have these two really, really hard hitting carries. And I believe Sneaky went the AP build in this, if I'm...
No, he just went Stormraiser, Rageblade, and then they won.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, oh yeah, he built the Doran's Ring. I think that was why I thought he went AP. But basically, they had this comp where they would... they were talking about it a lot, the commentators were talking about it a lot, where they basically drafted Malzahar. And one of the sole reasons they drafted it was so that TSM would have to pay the Malzahar tax. It forced everyone on the team to buy a QSS. And the members that didn't buy a QSS were the reason that TSM lost the game, essentially.
Yeah, 100%.
And they were saying in the game, they didn't pay the Malzahar tax and they lost the game. I believe Bjergsen was the only one on TSM that actually ended up buying a QSS. And
yeah, he was.
It showed.
Well, to be fair, in game 4, most of them did. I think game 5 ended
game
too
5,
fast
yeah,
for
game
most
5
of them
was
to buy a
what
QSS.
I was talking about. Game 4, yeah, game 4.
There were three QSSs in game 4.
C9 really demonstrated what I think a lot of teams will start doing next split, which is having a larger sub roster and being able to have a good reason to sub those people in other than, hey, our players aren't playing well. Because to me, Jensen and Blabber weren't playing extremely poorly. They might not have been playing incredibly, but they didn't look It didn't look like they subbed in Sven and Golden Glue because of poor play. I think they subbed them in for whatever reason of, yeah. But, and they were talking about that in the post game as well of watching the interview with Avali and the Swole Bros, as they're being called now.
what?
Which I really don't understand.
They work out more than everybody else. I don't know.
Yeah, Twitch everyone in the post game thread was calling them the Swole Bros. But regardless, I digress.
Actually, Ian, we need to hover on this a little longer.
But in the interview, they were talking about this and how if you're in the sub spot, it's very like you get to see everything. You get to see what everyone on TSM is doing, where they're placing their wards, what their play styles are, what their macro play looks like. And you get to see what C9 is doing as well from a different perspective. And so after 3 games of this, you can sub in these two players, completely mix up your playstyle, and those two players have a radically different view of what TSM is doing and how they're playing compared to the people that are in the game. And this was the perfect demonstration of that. As soon as they subbed them in, it was like C9 just flipped a switch. And they went from being a team that was like, okay, yeah, I think they could win this series to this team is dominating. And it's like, there is no way that TSM could even come close to winning this.
Yeah.
It's a really good series. I would say probably the best series. Second best series of the weekend.
Yeah.
Wasn't that many series.
It's really good as a whole series. As individual games, I don't think the games were that... They were entertaining because there was a lot at stake, and it was a C9 TSM matchup with an extremely high tension level because of neither team had ever lost in the semifinals. C9 trying to make it back to the finals. TSM trying to make it to the finals for the first time in this split. It was like both teams had a lot riding on this. And so the games had a lot of tension behind them, but if you were to watch one of them individually, they were pretty one-sided.
I think the only one that wasn't is game 3, and that one was kind of an inevitable, it was gonna go this way eventually.
Yeah, it was very... Games were all very one-sided towards TSM or C9, whoever ended up winning it. And overall, I feel like both teams had moments where they looked good. I think that TSM just didn't have enough of them. They had a few moments where they looked like a good, solid team. Sven and Bjergsen both had incredible games. It was just that C9 had a lot more of those good, solid moments, and TSM had a few more kind of boneheaded moments where it was like, what are you doing, man? Like, why are you trading Rift Herald for mid tower and 2 bot towers kind of thing?
Well, from there, in some boneheaded moments, let's go over to the other series, which to say, I can't say for sure it's a boneheaded move or not, but we had a bit of a mix up in the 100 Thieves series. They left their AD carry at home.
And like, actually literally at home.
I actually left him at home. They told him, watch the games. Be ready.
It's really funny because that's exactly what they did, but they did it. They said, stay at home, like actually at home, not stay in the back room, not stay in the crowd. They'd said, stay at home. And so they said, stay at home. But they also said, be ready to sub in at any point. So,
which makes no fucking sense.
How do you sub in from home?
Yeah, I want to know. I saw this and read through
the fuck?
Yeah. So I saw this. I saw when this news kind of broke about what happened, and I read through a lot of the comments on the Reddit thread, and I really couldn't find anyone that could make any sense of this. It was basically everyone came to the consensus of, how can you be at home and also ready to jump in and sub at any time?
I think it was a little bit more the coaches wanted him to feel like he might be brought in, so that he's paying a lot of attention to the games and not just like, well, fuck, I guess I can't play. Well,
is his house like across the street?
It's like, if you want him to feel like that, then bring him to the studio and have him be in the back. For fuck's sake, man, they have meetings after every game with all of the players. He could have contributed in those meetings saying, here's what's going on. Here's what the enemy team is doing. Here's my input. For fuck's sake, man, use the player you're paying money for.
It makes zero sense.
Yeah. And
we're sure this was an org decision? Like, we're sure that it was
a coaching decision.
Yes.
Coaching. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was stated by somebody else in the org in a Discord chat that someone clipped and posted as well.
Yeah.
That it was a management
decision. But basically, 100 Thieves kind of ended up looking like a team that you would expect something like that to come from in this series.
And this series was a lot more one-sided each game than the other ones.
It got progressively more and more one-sided as the series went on.
I thought game 1 was pretty back and forth.
Game 1 was like good.
It was close for a while.
It was close for a while, and then 100 Thieves really pulled away closer to the 25-minute mark, I would say, was when they really got a substantial lead and then kind of held on to it for a while.
They just had a lot better scaling first with Baron. Gangplank and Kindred.
Jin.
And yeah, Jin. Their whole team scales really well.
So they just kind of hit a point in the game where they were stronger.
Yeah, they were able to just kind of ride out their gold lead they had got.
And
and game one, kind of like we were talking about with Cloud9, they made Team Liquid pay the Malzahar tax, and Team Liquid didn't. Only the bot lane of Team Liquid bought the QSS.
Yep. And I feel like they had a really good game plan coming into game one, as we can see. Well, no one was expecting 100 Thieves to win this series, so the fact that they pull out game one is huge. And they have a really good pick ban idea and like team identity, and then they just kind of forget into every game after, and they play completely differently from what worked, putting Rekara on all kinds of different champions, which he showed proficiency on Jhin. And I would expect with a brand new AD carry, yes, I know he was in your challenger team, but keep him comfortable.
Yeah, he plays four different unique AD carries in these four games.
And that's not keeping him comfortable. And he plays like Misfortune and then Kai'Sa, Xayah, and Jhin, like all over the spectrum. So this dude is went from challenger games to semifinals in a freaking day, and they don't do anything for him, I feel like.
Yeah, he went from playing Jhin, who is a really unique champion just in his own right. I don't think you can really compare him to any other AD carry, potentially Graves, but that's the only one, and I still think very close.
In the vein of everything, like, him and Ashe are kind of similar for play styles. Like,
in a sense,
to sit back and be range.
He switches over to Xayah, which is a completely different champion, and then he switches over to Misfortune, which is a completely different champion as well. And then they put him on Kai'Sa, and so
are you now expecting this brand new AD carry to carry your team? Like, you're
putting four different characters,
They played four different, and it's not four different AD carries that play similarly. It's four different carries that all have a very unique play style to them.
Like, they should have come into this game being, this is how, I feel this is how they should have done it, and they did it well in the first game, is, okay, we need a supportive AD carry that can sit back and deal a strong amount of damage and keep himself alive, Jhin. And then we put Someday on the carry, and we put more of our everything else on the top side of the map, and we work through that way. And they do that the first game, it ends up working out for them, and then they just completely forget it for the rest of the game. Aphromoo plays like garbage game two. His Rakan,
someone made a compilation team of all of Aphromoo's alts on, I believe it was from game two on Rakan.
Misses, like just straight misses more than one of his like ult knockups.
Yeah, it was not pretty. Definitely like a low point for probably all time in terms of like worst support games he's ever had. He did not look like the Aphromoo that we expected, and he really didn't proceed to look any better for the rest of the series. He didn't look as bad as he did game two, because game two was really bad, but he didn't look good.
Well, let's just put it this way. After game one, for games two, three, and four, the bot lane went a combined 2 and 20.
Yeah.
Holy dick.
And it's hard to say with the Braum games how much of Aphromoo looking bad was on Aphro and how much was just because Rekara wasn't able to keep up, wasn't put in a winning situation.
It's hard to say. It's hard to say how much of this is on just the whole team just not looking really that good. Something like awakened in Poebelter in game two, and he just popped off.
Well, he was just able to alt Aphro.
Double lift went insane in game three, and then proceeded to pop off again in game four. Team Liquid just looked like a better team in every aspect in this series.
I do want to mention, I don't remember whether it was game three or game four, but Poelter did not look that great, because at one point he literally Rizolts himself and only himself into the middle of 100.
Yeah, that's why I said in game two on Syndra. Yeah. But yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. I remember that. I was very confused.
I think everyone was, including Poelter and his team.
Yeah, but if you're looking to watch any of this series, I would say just watch the first game. It was a relatively competitive game for a while, but none of this series was really exciting to watch, I guess. It didn't have the same tension as C9TSM. It didn't have the same history.
It started exciting, as you said.
It's sad because this is the rematch of finals last split. And this was not impressive. Well, I guess finals wasn't impressive either, was it?
No.
No.
Yeah, so this is...
This was an improvement. They got a game.
They got a game, so it was a mild improvement from 100
games. Yeah, but that's like what I was saying. It doesn't have the same history of like close games. It doesn't have the same history of whenever these two teams meet, it's always a good series. Yeah. It's like the most notable match these teams have ever played, it was a worse stomp than this one. So
next split, it'll be a 3-2 in 100
games. Yeah.
And then the split after, they might win.
They're playing the long game.
I doubt it. Yeah.
It's logic. You heard it here first. In summer 2019, 100 Thieves will beat Team Liquid in a best of five.
And yeah, from there, that gives us our finals and third place.
Yeah.
Yeah, TSM. TSM Liquid.
Are we pretty excited about that one?
TSM versus
TSM 100 Thieves.
100 Thieves. Yeah, TSM 100 Thieves. C9
Team Liquid.
And C9 Team Liquid.
I think C9 Team Liquid is going to be a really fun series to watch. Especially if Golden Glue and Svenskeren are able to keep up what they're doing. I think Golden Glue is going to be riding a big wave. He's going to have a lot of pressure on his shoulders to perform, just because I don't know if you guys have checked Reddit, but it's like there's like 8 different posts about him. People are bringing up things. I was looking on Reddit today, and they're talking about how, oh my gosh, last year when Golden Glue got benched from Team Liquid, he went and did his own personal Korean boot camp and played 400 games in 2 weeks or something like that. And so everyone's going to have this big focus on Golden Glue. But maybe they can use that to their advantage. Maybe they can make... make the other team think that they're going to go for Golden Glue for those obvious reasons. And
the question is Golden Glue even going to see game time?
Yeah.
If
Jensen and Blabber just fucking pound it out real quick, Golden Glue's not even going to see
it. That's what one of my questions going into this is going to be is, I imagine they're going to start with Jensen. I think it would be a pretty baller move to start with Golden Glue just to try and throw the other team off. But
one thing that Jat brought up is he likes the dynamic of having Golden Glue and Svenskeren come in after, because Blabber is so new, you don't want to like accidentally rattle him with too much pressure. And that so you always bring Sven in after, because you know Sven fucking pressure. Fucking Sven don't give a shit about extra pressure. He's been here a million times before.
Like, here's what we need to do. We need to get Svenskeren and Golden Glue to wait in the hotel room. Let them know to watch the games at any moment.
They can play from their Acer Predator laptops.
I think what I'm interested in seeing is Riot Games.
If Jensen has a really poor first game, if they just throw Golden Glue right in on the second game, or if they're going to let Jensen try and work out a kink in his second game, because obviously in this series, this past series they left it. I'm wondering if they've gotten some confidence in this the Swole Bros, or the fuck we call them.
Yeah, I think it's
I think if they went down 0-2, I think Golden Glue and Sven come in, but I think they keep Golden Glue and Sven for when they're down 2 games. If they never drop down 2 games, then we don't see them.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
Because that's how Reaper has always liked to set his players, like when he had Impact and Ray beforehand, like Impact plays these games, Ray plays these games. He doesn't seem to do it like if it's pressured, it's just like it has to meet a requirement.
I mean, I suppose in a way it does make a certain level of sense, because those two players that have lost those two games are now having that they're going, yeah. Well, no, now we really need to perform, and that's how you're going to make extra mistakes. Whereas if you bring in the two fresh people.
Yep.
Now that I think about it, I think I agree with you.
Yeah. And
yeah, I think
that could just be, it could be a quick C9-3-0, Jensen and Blabber fuck TS or Team Liquid up, and then we out. Or
that is what's going to happen.
That is what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Well, I hope that's what happens, but I'm not so sure.
I think that might happen if Licorice gets to play something other than Ornn.
Yeah, possibly. I think that this is going to be a really good series. I think that C9 has a major advantage over Liquid in the aspect of having that depth of roster. Liquid has the five players on their team, and basically only those five players. C9 has a huge advantage in Svenskeren and Golden Glue. I think that gives them a very tactical edge that Liquid just straight up doesn't have. And I think that they have a good chance of doing basically what it looked like they did to TSM and throw Liquid off their game by either subbing in Sven and Golden Glue at like when their backs are against the wall and they have to and change up their play style, or like Blake said, maybe they start with that and it throws Liquid off. Maybe that's a different strategy that we haven't seen yet.
It could definitely be like an interesting thing to go for, but yeah. I think it's, I mean, because you could still, even then, you could even then say, well, Reaper could still have his two game down theory and they just throw Golden Glue and Svenskeren in for the first two games, and if they lose two, then they swap in.
Yeah,
and I think that here's a quick question for you guys. Will it matter if Sneaky is just getting blown out of bot lane by Double Lift?
Do
you think he can try this Quinn pick against Double Lift and
no,
keep in lane?
I think they're done with the Quinn pick.
I hope they're done with the Quinn.
Yeah, pick. No, I don't think that if Sneaky is getting blown out, I don't think he's going to get blown out of the water, but I think if Sneaky is, if he loses lane hard, in the sense of like, oh, maybe you're down a kill in 40 CS, maybe two kills in 40 CS or something like that, which is like a ton in LCS. But if you're down like that, and if he's consistently losing like that, I don't think C9 stands a chance. I don't think that's going to happen though, because I think C9 can play around Sneaky however they need. And Sneaky has proven to be fairly consistent. I don't think he's going to get blown out of the water.
He's clearly comfortable. I think he's shown himself to be quite comfortable on the Varus pick.
I just don't think that's going to happen.
Quite safe.
But if it does, then I think C9 has more problems than just that at that point.
If we see Quinn Leona coming out again.
Yeah.
I mean, unless Liquid drafts a squishy comp, which is what that's actually good into. But we'll see what happens on, I believe that's Sunday's game. What about TSM versus 100 Thieves?
Yeah,
I would so love for 100 Thieves to win this, but I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I would
agree with you there.
I have 100 Thieves down as winning it. That's mainly just a, like, I'm going with my heart, not my brain.
Same.
It's
that was beautiful, dude. I'm gonna get that tattooed on my lower back.
I go with my heart, not my brain.
But yeah,
write that down.
Just tattoo it right across your dick.
I think this at the
0 to 100 real quick on that.
Jeez.
But absolutely.
Yeah, I really think this series is, it has the potential to be a crazy wild series of crazy twists and turns of either moments of glory.
Watching from the most boring series.
Yeah, like
no, it's gonna be the most boring series.
Moments of complete glory from Bjergsen, Sven, and like the 100 Thieves roster, or just a horrible series that no one wants to watch.
Big question is does Cody Sun stay at home and watch the games again and wait for the call from Coach?
I'm really curious to see what they do with that.
Like, what do you guys think? At least allow him in the fucking building. Like, the most absurd thing. Seriously. Let him at least have the catering.
At least have him there.
Let him get a fucking sandwich.
You lose nothing from having him there.
The catering is provided via Riot. Just let them feed the boy so that you don't have to feed the boy.
Unless there's something that we don't know, about Cody's son, and he's like dragging the team down mentally, which I'm almost positive is not happening. He doesn't seem like the kind of player that would do that at all.
Just sitting in the room when they come back in.
Do you think that?
Why, guys? Why are you all so bad?
But yeah, it's like you the team literally loses nothing by having him there. He's a salaried player. He's not getting paid extra for being there. They lose nothing.
Is it possible that he's having some form of mental health problem or something like that, and that they're just not publicizing it?
I don't think it could
be possible, but he released a post saying it has nothing to do with physical illness, has nothing to do with that. It was just
he was even tweeting about looking forward to playing. Once I walk down there
or ride my bicycle to the studio.
Let me just call an Uber real quick.
Maybe this is some new age technique, guys. Maybe they were genuinely intending on bringing him in, and that his quick sprint from the house to the studio would get the blood flowing in such a way that once he sat down at the chair, he'd be amped and ready to go.
Next level strats.
I think that's a good place to leave it. Let's get everybody's predictions for third place in finals, just so everybody knows exactly where
Cody
we're at.
Sun run.
The Cody Sun.
Cody run.
God damn. So for TSM 100 Thieves, what do you got, Ian?
I have 100 Thieves, like I said earlier, just going with my heart.
Jax?
Same.
So beautiful.
Blake?
Someone once told me that I should think with my heart and not my brain. And I'm going to actually not do that and just say TSM's going to win. But I would love to see TSM just get absolutely continue to get stomped into the ground. I'm having a great time watching them not get into any finals in 2018. I think it's awesome.
It's been a beautiful year. I as well am going with my brain and not my heart and have chosen TSM.
Maybe I should just switch the tattoo up and just change the two words around.
Go with your brain, not your heart.
Exactly.
And this one, we are all on the exact same page.
I feel like C9
versus TL.
I feel like this whole thing is a combination of we all don't want to see Liquid win, and C9 looks legitimately good enough to make that happen.
Yep. I think we're all right there. Like, it's not really, we're going with our hearts and our brains there, boys.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. That's the one. That's it.
Write that down. All right. Let's jump over to EU and check out their 3-1 semis. Let's go right into the Saturday or the Friday match.
Yes.
Yeah Friday, Saturday.
I entirely forgot your
Friday match of Schalke 04 versus Vitality. And
so
Badger has been surprisingly silent. I guess unsurprisingly silent about this series, seeing as he was so sure that Vitality was going to win EU. They're better than Fnatic. They got this.
Not quite.
So, what happened in this one?
Nuke Duck happened.
Yeah, pretty much completely. And Upset, to be fair. Upset popped off like crazy this series as well.
Yeah, for sure. Upset and Nuke Duck both just had amazing, amazing games this series. It was the only game they didn't look phenomenal in was the one game that Schalke ended up losing. And that's really not even to the fault of Nuke Duck or Upset, I would say.
Yeah, no, those two played fine. It was pretty much entirely that amazing as shit at Poppy. I don't understand why they pick Poppy and don't give it to Vizachachi.
Amazing straight saved the enemy team twice with his ult after like Attila gets a kill on Draven and then gets ulted out of the fight. So he's like, all right, cool. I'm just going to go bye now.
Later.
Like,
and it's just, they have possibly the best Poppy player in the world on Vizachachi. They pick Poppy and don't give it to the Poppy man.
Chachi had to have been pissed after watching Amazing play this game. Like, cause he takes it the next game. Doesn't
and looks great.
Yeah, he doesn't get any kills, but he gets a lot of solid assists and they try hard to keep him down.
He did what Poppy needed to do in that game. Which isn't always to look amazing. Sometimes your job, a lot of times your job as a tank is to sponge damage from the enemy team and just offer your CC. That way your carries like Nuke Duck and Upset can do what they need to do. And he did exactly that.
And specifically in game four, a lot of his job was to deny Cabochard the Jarvan entrance so that Galio couldn't then ult on top of Shulk's team that couldn't get out.
Which he was able to counterpick the Poppy into the Jarvan. And he did a great job of keeping Cabochard down all game. He wasn't able to have a huge presence that he needed to. And the honeymoon phase is over. We see Kickass isn't the free win that he used to be.
Now, it does need to be said, because we were talking about the Poppy. Jack Troll, the support for Vitality, plays Poppy in game one and two and looks abysmal in both. Like, just straight misses flash wall slams.
And I really think this whole pick is solely so that they don't have to ban it from Chachi. They're like, we can play it. And if we can pick it and play it, then we don't have to worry about Chachi playing it.
Which makes no sense to me, because they banned Alistair and Braum. Just ban Poppy and pick one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Vander, well, that was the other thing, is Vander's not supposed to have a champion pool outside of Alistair and Braum. Yet he comes in with this really good Shen pick. Yeah. And causes all kinds of problems for Vitality. They're crazy. Team fight everywhere style doesn't work when you've got a Shen that can keep all the numbers even
and
keep his carries alive. Mainly Nuke Duck, who, holy shit, carried the fuck out of this goddamn series. Game one, 11-2, 11-2-6, Cassiopeia.
Yep. Now, it does need to be said, in game one, Upset did twice the damage that Nuke Duck did.
Yes.
It's actually insane how much damage Upset did.
So I feel like what y'all are saying is that Shulka overall had a great series.
Oh wow.
What?
Oh my god.
I would have taken Shulka Upset Vitality. Like, that's what I was expecting there. And then you just
Oh my god.
Found one worse.
Zero, clip that. Share it for everyone to see.
The world needs to know.
Ian's shame.
One could say that it was both amazing and
Jack's
upsetting.
Reaction.
Oh, yes.
Jack's reaction, that was perfect. I'm so happy right now. That was everything I was hoping it would be.
But this series does confirm Amazing does not have a champion pool.
Yeah.
Continues to confirm he can play three.
Yeah, all puns aside, though, Shulka really did look just fantastic as a team this series. Everyone had their moments where they played incredibly well.
I'm just waiting for a pun to come. I'm just waiting for a fucking pun to come.
Oh, I'll try and think of something real quick.
No, don't. No, that's okay. That's okay.
No.
Yeah, no.
Puns don't work when you're trying to force them.
All right, we done here. We're gonna. Yeah.
So Schalke wins.
We're 3-1. Done here, just like Vitality's done with LCS. Ah. Except they'd have to play a third place.
They're in the third place.
Don't worry about that. Don't worry about it.
Let's jump into the expected result for the Fnatic Misfits.
Expected, but in an unexpected way.
Yes. Let's take a break here, real quick.
Support for today's episode comes from Sneak In-Game Energy. Have you ever felt like you've had your plug pulled from drinking too many sugary energy drinks? We've all been there. Getting that in-game crash sucks. Time for a healthier alternative. Sneak Energy is a completely sugar-free formula that gives you an intense energy boost without the crash. The powder formula is packed with vitamins, minerals, and amino acids to sharpen your focus and enhance your reaction times. Just add water, mix, and dominate. Sneak is also way cheaper than regular canned energy drinks. At just 87 cents per serving, you can get a boost for much less. Plus, the flavors are seriously explosive. I've tried them. Cherry Bomb and Stealth are delicious. Of course, there's Blue Raspberry as well you can pick up. Whatever your game, fuel it with Sneak. Head over to We Are Sneak and use code Trinity for 10% off orders over $30. That's WEARESNEAK.com and use code Trinity at checkout for 10% off orders over $30.
This episode of the LCS Rundown is brought to you by Moxie and Zen. Check out moxieandzen.com/tforce using the code TRINITYFORCE for 20% off your order. Premium, high-quality, inexpensive boxers. They're made from bamboo to help wick away the sweat, which leaves you feeling fresh. Compared to the other brands, none of them will keep you as comfy as Moxie and Zen.
From there, we could jump over to Fnatic Misfits, which is not surprising at all.
Yeah, it was like... The series went as expected, but in a different way than a lot of people were expecting it would happen.
We had the full return of Reckless. He played all four games.
Yeah.
And I personally, less of a fan of it, only because Sivir's back.
You just don't like watching Sivir.
I just don't like watching Sivir games.
Odin's just salty. You'd rather watch Tristana with her obnoxious escape abilities.
And her... Well, she gets some cool outplays, man. Reckless shows that.
That's fair.
He gets some dope plays on that champion.
To me, it's tilting to have to watch Tristana escape from stupid stuff that she shouldn't.
No, you want to know what's tilting. Misfits drafting an Ivern and then playing it like a ganking damage jungler.
That Ivern pick was so garbage.
Well, here's the thing. I don't actually think the Ivern pick was garbage. I agree with and understand the concept of it. The play.
The Ivern play looked so garbage.
Fucking awful.
It was Maximor not good. Maximor
played Ivern like Ivern was a damage carry. Ivern's not.
Yeah, he was constantly. He was playing.
Not with that attitude.
Yeah. He was playing way too aggressive this game. Like, way, way too aggressive.
He's playing like he was playing Kindred. Like,
yeah, Ivern is a supporting champion. He was
allowed to do those things.
Which, to be fair, they had a pretty good team to play Ivern with this game.
Kindred was open, too. Why didn't he just play Kindred?
Well, he does in game two, but like,
I
understand the Ivern in game one. They've got a tank top. They've got a Kalista who is a short ranged carry, but if she can stay alive, she can murderate everyone. So you give her an Orianna to shield her and an Ivern to shield her and just protect the fuck out.
Yeah, I can respect what they were going for in this game. It didn't work, but I can respect it.
I don't think it was a good comp to go for against.
Who's going to melt through a shield as fast as anyone can melt through a shield? It's going to be a fucking Cassiopeia and a Tristana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just got thoroughly
outdrafted.
And that's the thing, is these games aren't super long, even though it's very late game team comps. It's kind of the game gets to late game. Fnatic shows that they're better at late game fights, wins the game because of lead they've created from earlier. The only game they don't win is the game two,
where Hansama just gets an absurd lead on Kalista. Like, literally, dude has 3 kills by like 3.5 minutes.
I haven't been following EU very closely. How has Reckless been playing?
This is the first series he's played in about a month and a half.
They've been playing Bwippo in the bot lane.
Yeah.
For most of the split.
Okay.
So the Swain pick you saw from Sven is played a lot by Bwippo as the AD carry in Fnatic.
The fucking game has gone to shit.
Soaz would play top lane.
And then when Heimer was meta, they swapped that around because Soaz is the better Heimer player.
Yeah, this is a huge series because Reckless has not played basically all split. He played the first 2 weekends. And that was it.
Yep.
Wow. Any particular reason? Sorry to sort of pause the... I'm just curious.
Reckless had got it into his head that the best way to play League of Legends was with mages and bot lane. So he stepped back and had Bwippo play for him because that was his personal thought of the only way or the
most effective way to play League of Legends was with Mage's Bot.
So he's a hero, is what you're trying to say.
And to be fair, Whippo's much better than him at Mages and played really well for most.
He was a martyr for Fnatic.
But there's a lot of
not what we deserved.
There's exactly. A lot of really whiny interviews from Reckless that he came out with right before he came back. Like he was bitching the whole time. Like he was like, I almost retired. Like he was, yeah. Like, it was.
Well, even Batman talks about his dead parents almost constantly. So we're all like, the hero gets that. I forgive him.
But the true hero, like Reckless, is not the hero of Fnatic. It is Caps.
No, it is 100%.
Yeah, so let's talk about Caps. We've put it off for long enough. Let's talk about Caps.
All right. So Caps game one and game two does fine. Like nothing special. Nothing.
Well, he plays Cassiopeia pretty efficiently. Game one.
Wait, the European Faker.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, he plays fine in game one, but everyone on Fnatic smashes game one. Caps didn't stand out. He was just really good.
Fair point.
Game three. Caps plays mid lane Vayne.
Counter picks Vayne.
Yeah, this was the last pick.
Picks it into Galio. Yep. And literally, they are down like 6,000 gold when Caps just suddenly does Vayne things and turns the entire game around.
So Caps, this Vayne pick was looking to not have worked out at all. Up until like the turning point in the game, it had not looked good. There had been a couple moments where it had looked mediocre, but for the most part, it had looked pretty bad. And then there was a very, very specific turning point in a team fight in top lane under Fnatic's top inhib turret, and it absolutely turned the game on its head. And Fnatic went from being down like 5,000 gold to winning the game in about 4 minutes.
Yeah, literally that fast. It was super abrupt.
Yeah, it was absolutely insane.
And this is what shows that Caps is a fucking monster, because he continues to make these plays. He does it in the regular season against G2 with perfect win walls. Every single time there is a point where Caps is put in the position that he either makes the fucking play and wins the whole game, or they lose, makes the fucking play.
Yeah, so for like, anyone that it's hasn't...
It's amazing.
Yeah, for anyone that somehow hasn't seen this play, it was basically like on the top of the League subreddit for a long time. Essentially what happened was Han Sama was really, really fed this game. He didn't have a lot of kills, but he was super farmed, and it was getting to that point in the game where Tristana was becoming unstoppable. And there's this fight happening in top lane. I believe they had already even killed the tower, and yes, they were going for the inhib.
Took down the tower.
Yeah, and so they're going for the inhib, and a fight breaks out. And so Caps on Vayne finds his way on the opposite side of the wall, like outside of their base. And he's like, what, 300, 400 HP? And yeah, Han Sama sees this and says, oh, I'm going to jump over, auto attack him once and kill him. And
yeah, with Stormraiser up, so it's a guaranteed.
Yeah, threat. No, Caps Real would have absolutely sure. died if he had been autoed one more time by Tristana.
Yep.
What Tristana does, Tristana jumps, and mid jump, Caps condemns the Tristana into the wall, kills her. I think like three autos, four autos or something, kills the inside Tristana. The
stun. Yeah, and full to dead, and he's able to get the perfect combo of damage and stun off, to where Tristana never gets that single auto off. And
yeah, and as soon as that happens, the team fight's over. And I believe they got Baron off of that, didn't they?
Yeah.
Did they get Baron?
Straight from that fight to
Baron. Yeah, they got Baron off of that. They proceeded to back, shove down mid, win a team fight, and end the game. It was one of the...
Very abrupt.
It was one of the quickest turnarounds I've ever seen.
Incredible play. Like, this is why Fnatic is going to win.
Yeah, and then he proceeds to the next game. It was like that single moment, like, flipped a switch. Like, something happened in that moment where he just transcended League of Legends and became a god.
Because his limiter was removed.
Exactly. The next game, he proceeds to go 10-2 on LeBlanc and just steamroll Misfits.
Now, to be fair, Misfits did him some favors in game 4. They draft a Xin Zhao in the jungle, which no one's playing in pro because he's not good enough. And they put Sengkuks on Lulu.
I don't know what Misfits was doing in this series, basically ever, with these picks.
It makes no sense.
They win the one game, and it's just a strange overall, and it makes the question for who's going to win third place a lot more interesting, because Vitality didn't look as good as we thought they'd look against Schalke. Misfits looked better than we thought they'd look against Fnatic.
I would say. It's hard to say. I think that coming into the series, Misfits was on an extremely heavy upswing due to their previous two series. But it's really hard to tell because Fnatic has been looking so dominant that it's just like, is Misfits upswing enough to compete with this? Did people think that it was? A lot of people probably did, and a lot of people probably didn't. And so I think this series really showed that it wasn't enough. And like you said, that does make the third place match a really interesting discussion. Because these are two.
Not only is it interesting in terms of the match itself, but it decides the order of the gauntlet.
Yeah, because these are two teams that coming into the match that they got knocked into the third place match, they were both looking like they were on a pretty massive upswing. So I think this is a good transition into talking about the third place match.
Yep.
These two teams basically were looking like they were on massive upswings, which, to be fair, they were coming into this third place match. And now that we're in the third place match and these two teams are about to face off, it's more of a matter of, to me, how do their play styles match up? Because yeah. I think they were looking about even coming into this. Vitality maybe a little more so, but overall, it's really hard to say for me.
So we got Vitality versus Misfits. All of us actually put Misfits down in the dock as winning this series.
I think it's really anyone's game, though.
Well, I was going to say, the reason I put Misfits, besides being a Misfits fan, is I think the big weakness of Misfits is Sengkuks. And Jizuke of Summer Split, I don't think has what it takes to exploit Sengkuks. And I think the rest of Misfits is just better.
I think that's totally fair.
I think it's really the bot lane fight for this is going to be super interesting because we have two very aggressive. We have Hansama versus Attila, both players who have brought out and gotten wins on Draven. Like, these guys are going to be
Draven may actually be a contested pick in this series.
Yeah, this is going to be like Draven, Kalista, like super lane bullies, like high damage kind of bot lane. It's going to be crazy.
For the series, definitely focus on the bot lane. What about jungle pressure though? Because that has a huge effect on the bot lane in general. How do you think that's going to play out?
Tickus has been looking really good with a lot of strange new paths, a lot of all the other weird shit
he's been doing Kickus things.
And Maxlore's always been incredibly intelligent when it comes to pathing. So
do you think Maxlore with that intelligence might try and take advantage of Kickus's sporadic gameplay?
As long as he doesn't play Ivern.
That's the thing. It's like if Maxlore is allowed to go toe-to-toe with Kickus, I think he can do it, but they need both aggressive picks to be able to pull something like that off. And then we still haven't even talked about the top lane of Cabochard versus Alfari. If Alfari decides to be Misfits versus G2 Alfari and just continue to solo kill top lane, but
yeah, I was gonna say, like, going by their performance in the last like month, it's pretty much a wash. But like historically, Alfari should stomp Cabo Shard.
Should. Cabo Shard has been like in Vitality's run back up that they've been making. He has been looking really good with synergy with Kickass. So this series itself is pretty up in the air. I think both these teams are coming in at a loss, of course, because it's the third, fourth place match.
Mm-hmm.
But they both are very similar play styles that want to get ahead early. And if they don't get ahead early, the game is over.
And I mentioned that the third, fourth place match is super, super important. Because if we're assuming that Fnatic wins, which I think all of us are, the winner of the third, fourth place match completely decides not just the gauntlet order, but who goes to Worlds as the second seed. Because if Vitality wins the third, fourth place match, they have the most points. They either go to Worlds as the second seed, or Fnatic loses somehow, and then Vitality becomes the gauntlet boss.
Yeah.
But if Misfits wins, Misfits straight up jumps out of the first round of the gauntlet and goes straight to the second round. With that puts Schalke as the gauntlet boss. Or no, Schalke would go on points then, and G2 would be the gauntlet boss. Like, Schalke could legitimately go to Worlds on points, depending on this third, fourth place match.
And they didn't even... What did they place?
They didn't have any points in spring.
Yeah, they didn't have any points.
That's fucked.
It's because all the bottom half of the bracket, or the bottom half of playoffs in here, is all teams that didn't go anywhere last
split. It's literally this third, fourth place match decides basically a ton for EU, way more than the finals does, unless Schalke manages a crazy upset. Speaking of Schalke, let's talk about that final.
Talking about that, let's jump over to Fnatic versus Schalke, and which is super hype in the fact of Nuke Duck's been popping off, Caps has been popping off, so we get to see two mid lanes.
Favoritism is showing. You European fanboy.
This is the two best mids in EU facing off.
Who else is going to talk about this shit? Jax, that's it. Yeah. Just Jax.
I'm sorry, the two boring people are the EU fans.
Yeah, get some more NA fans on here and talk about some shit then. You guys got your talking in.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this
carry on.
This story, this kind of like storyline of Schalke versus Fnatic is very, very much like, in a sense, David versus Goliath. For this match, Fnatic is like the powerhouse. Yeah, this is where they thrive. This is where they play their absolute best, and this is where they've won more than anyone in the history of EU. And Schalke is a pretty new team, like really new. And they are trying to prove that they have what it takes to go to Worlds and compete. And they've looked like there's potential for them to do that. To me, I think Fnatic looks better. I think they're way more seasoned. But Schalke has just went on this absolute tear over playoffs. They've looked... like they've way exceeded everyone's expectations that they had for them. A lot of people wrote this team off as being knocked out in the first round.
Yeah.
But they've absolutely exceeded that, and they're in the finals versus Fnatic. And I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there that would say that there's a legit chance that they beat Fnatic.
And now that we've talked up Schalke as much as we can, let's talk about why they lose to Fnatic.
So why don't you tell us why they do lose to Fnatic?
Amazing's going to get his shit pushed in by Broxah, because he's not going to have an aggressive jungler, and Broxah's going to have free reign. Reckless is going to outplay Upset in late game team fights, which is where Upset is the best, is where he is considered the best. And then got Hillisang, who's going to be all over the map, causing all kinds of problems and just winning the game.
And you didn't even mention Caps yet. Like, Caps just absolutely looking like a monster right now.
See, but I think it's a lot simpler than that. Fnatic's going to ban Poppy. And then Soaz is going to be able to beat up on Visichachi, because without the Poppy, I don't think Visichachi is a top three top laner in EU.
Go to. And that's, I think, the most even matchups here are Soaz versus Chachi and then Caps versus Nuke Duck. But, like, Soaz has found ways, many a time he has found ways around Visichachi and has beat him down time and time again, shown that he is a better top laner.
Yeah, Soaz is the kind of guy that no matter how many times he looks mediocre or has like bad games, he always finds a way to come back from it. That's why he's been in LCS longer than pretty much anyone.
Yeah, and the other thing is, if Soaz does actually start having issues, they just sub Whip Woe.
Yeah.
They have another top tier top laner in their roster.
They, if for some reason they're having trouble, Reckless is having trouble with upset down bottom, toss Whip Woe down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, I think
Fnatic has the flexibility, the same kind of thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing that C9 is doing. They have this really, really strong aspect of the team in the flexibility, which is a massive advantage that the other team straight up doesn't have right now. It's,
yeah.
And to me, it's a huge advantage because you can vary up your play style. You have someone that's watching the game from a completely different aspect. And it's really this wild card kind of factor that I feel like a lot of people sleep on.
Yeah, totally. That sums it up pretty dang well there. I think
that's it for this week.
We're ready to make predictions, which are pretty sure everybody probably figured out, but we all have Misfits over Vitality, which is a little bit more surprising, but I think I put Vitality. Yeah.
All right. So
Odin's flip flopping on the show.
We all have Vitality. Hey. We all have Misfits except for Odin, who has Vitality now.
It's locked after the show ends. So, and then for finals, we all have Fnatic.
Yeah, I think Fnatic is definitely the safe pick for the finals. I think this is one of the situations where everyone wants to see Shulka win, but realistically, Fnatic will win. But like, and everyone really wants to see Shulka win this. Unless you're a Fnatic fan, you want to see Shulka win this.
Here's the thing. I want Misfits to win the third place match, and then Fnatic can win the finals. I don't give a shit. Because I want Schalke to go to Worlds. I want them to have a chance to show their stuff internationally.
Yeah. It'll be really fun. It'll be very fun to see a new team at Worlds.
Yeah, I always love it when new teams make it to Worlds. I think there's incredible opportunities to happen for that. It helps the team grow. It helps the region grow as a whole, because new people are getting new experiences, which will eventually trickle down to everyone else in the league. And
assuming NA doesn't steal the talent again.
Oof.
Well, from there, I think that's about it for everything, right? Yeah,
I have one thing to say. Buttered. I lie on my single bed.
God.
Flat.
There you go. Perfect. Goodbye, everybody.
I can't sleep.
That was your reading of...
stare up at the blind plastic eye in the middle
of
the
ceiling. All right. See you later, everyone.
Stares back.
Bye-bye.
We're out of here.
Even though it can't see. Bye.